episode 5 of the Curiously Morbid podcast with me, Danielle Waldron, and my co-host, Dean Osgood.
Hi.
How are you, Dean?
I'm alright. I'm just going to point out that you didn't capitalise my first name on your notes.
I am sorry about that. I'm
and an she's English a teacher of English. Ooh. Livid. How are we? How's your week been?
My week's been good. I think just not really been up to much. I've just been sort of lounging.
We're also making that like it's been a week since we last recorded the podcast.
And it really hasn't been a week since we last recorded.
It's been a matter of days.
My week is still the same as what it was. Probably in
the last episode. Week's been the same. However, I did watch a really scary film last night.
Tell me about scary film.
Well, I've been obsessed with scary films lately, as I always am, because I'm curiously morbid. However, I really find a good one. And this one is on Netflix and it's called Creep. And it's Creep number 2 on there that I'm going to watch tonight as well. And it's a found footage film. So, like, it's kind of from that area of when everyone was doing found footage films. But it's not like a paranormal activity. There's nothing to do with ghosts or demons or spooky, scary skeletons.
And that is what you think of when you think found footage, don't mm-hmm. you? You think, oh, it must be a ghost thing.
It is to do with the scariness of humans.
Oh, okay. I like this.
So the basic premise is that a videographer has been offered a job for $1,000 for the day. But the advert has asked for discretion. I'm not going to tell you any more than that. Watch it. It's spooky scary.
Oh, I'm
going to
watch it. Ooh. Mm. I'm going to watch it. I don't want to, but I'll watch it.
Watch it, because it's good.
Watch it,
because
it's good.
Watch it,
because
it's good.
Oh, well, I'll tell you something I've watched recently then on Netflix. It's a bit scary as well. Called Dead Silence. And I watched this years ago. And then I seen it again on Netflix. And I was like, oh, do you know what? I'll give that a little rewatch. Gave it a little rewatch. And it's not the scariest film I've ever seen, but it's pretty good. And it's basically like ventriloquist dummies, you know, like that scary.
I've seen this.
Oh, and it's so creepy, but it's one of those films, like, I'd completely forgot what the premise was. So I went into it watching it as if I hadn't watched it, and it was a good time. I liked it.
I might watch that tonight.
It's good. I'd happily watch it again.
I'll watch it tonight and I'll give you my views on our next podcast.
Oh, okay. And then I can watch Creep.
And then we'll talk about it. Yeah. Oh, look at us planning things in advance.
Not like us at all.
So, Danny.
Yes, Dean.
I am ready to scratch an itch.
I bet you are, because this is probably very suited for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is, and I am ready. I've got accents, I've got songs, I've got dance routines, I've got a change of costume.
Great.
Just because our listeners can't see me, I'm sat in a pantsuit with my hair scraped back into a tight bun, and I'm ready to go for it. I've got 2 pearl earrings clipped in.
Can you guess what we are doing, if you haven't already read by the title? Right, well, let's get into it.
Open the case.
So, this week, we're going to look into the fight over Argentina's most loved woman, Eva Perón's body, after she died, and then the journey that her body went on over the years. You may know her better as Evita.
Don't cry for me, Argentina!
Thank you, dear. Which was the name given to her by the people of Argentina and the name of the musical about her life.
It won't be easy.
So, Eva was born May 7th, 1919, with the name Maria Eva Duarte in Los Toldos, Argentina, which was like a rural sort of area. So she was the daughter of a wealthy farmer called Juan Duarte, who was already married with a wife and children when Eva was born. So Eva's family were like his side family, like his little piece on the side.
See this in Evita.
Yeah. So it's
Have bit... you seen Evita?
Right. I've heard the soundtrack.
Oof.
I've not seen the show.
It's boring.
Okay, so I'm glad I've only seen the soundtrack then.
There's like standout moments for it. It's basically this story.
Yeah.
Up until when she turns her back on the people. Okay. I tell you what, if you want to know the story of Evita better than watching the musical Evita, there's a Simpsons version of it, which condenses it into 20 minutes.
Oh, amazing. Oh, I love the Simpsons as well.
Lisa is Evita.
Oh, how have I not seen that Simpsons episode?
You might have, you just might have not made the parallel. It's where she turns her back on the public school after, like, and then she goes to a private school.
Do you know what? I feel like I have seen that, but I'm going to look for it on Disney Plus tonight.
Lots of Evita symmetry.
Oh, I like that. So, Ava's family, Ava's family, of five children and her mother were actually Juan's second family, which made them all illegitimate, which was obviously quite scandalous for the time. So when Juan abandoned his second family, Ava and her family were then left in poverty.
Oh.
Which is sad, you know, and there's a lot of them, so
that's really tough. A lot of people to feed.
A lot of mouths to feed for a mum.
But you know, we know better times are coming for our Evita.
We know.
I've seen her. Juan died when Eva was only six, and none of his other children were allowed to attend his funeral, as they were born out of wedlock. A scandalo. Isn't it mad how, like, that's a thing?
Yeah. Well, especially back then. This is, like, the, 1920s when he died, so that was really a big thing then.
But, like, only 100 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's still a thing now, because you can imagine if my dad had a second family, I feel like my family would just be, like, hating on them, you know, like it would just that's just human emotion, isn't it? There probably wouldn't be like the hatred towards the children the way there is now, but I mean the way there was then, not now. But there's still like that taboo, isn't there?
Yeah, we do like a bit of taboo. Oh, we should do a podcast on taboos.
Oh yeah,
and then we could play the game taboo.
Taboo, yeah.
Oh, okay. So. This probably had quite an impact and effect on the way Ava and her siblings were viewed by society and the way they actually saw themselves. Despite this, Ava loved films and acting in her childhood and dreamed of being an actress. Little did she know they were going to write a whole musical about her. Tim Rice smashed the songs on this with Andrew Lloyd Webber. Oh!
Oh, can I be controversial for a minute?
You be controversial, go on.
I don't really like Andrew Lloyd Webber's musicals very much. I think Cats is weird.
I love Cats, it's one of my favourite musical. I used to get drunk in uni on wine.
Have you seen the film?
Oh, creepy.
Yeah, it's awful. Not okay.
Have you seen the stage show?
Have.
Great.
But I saw it when I was little, so I feel like I need to go watch it again. But I just don't get it.
Can I take us on a proper sidebar?
Go on, take us on the sidebar.
Last time I went to see Cats, and it was touring in the Liverpool Empire, I went with my friend Ellen from uni, who we used to get drunk in uni and watch Cats over and over and over and over.
Oh, God.
And then dance around our uni house performing Cats. But we went and we were loving it. And then in the interval, we were sat by these two painfully middle-class women behind us. And one of them went to the other one, I haven't a clue what this is about. So, one of the women got up the synopsis of it and started reading it out loud to everyone.
Oh my God.
But the synopsis was just the lyrics to the songs that she'd just been listening. She was like, the Ram-Tam Tagger is a curious cat.
That's incredible. But I understand why they don't get the plot, because the plot really doesn't make any sense.
The plot is that there is a series of cats introducing themselves. And then they pick one of them to sacrifice.
But why? Why? Why does one of them have to be sacrificed?
Because originally, to the backstory of it, originally there was going to be a bigger plot to it. But Andrew Lloyd Webber said, no, we haven't got time. Because to write it, he wanted a quick hit. So to write an actual...
And that's why I'm not a huge fan of Andrew Lloyd Webber, because I feel like a lot of his shows are quick hits. And I don't like that. Not when you've seen Hamilton, which took Lin-Manuel Miranda like 10 years to write, and it's utter perfection.
And they put so much thought in, whereas they've just set the poems to music.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of, right, the Rum-Tum Tugger is like a cat that is like an icon. He's like, he was played by John Partridge in the recording on the West End, and he was like an icon. Yeah. And then they've tried to modernise it, probably off the back of the first things like In the Heights and Hamilton, and the Rum Tum Tugger and how raps.
Ooh.
But it just doesn't really fit at all.
Oh, no, I don't like that. Like, I think Cats is a very good show for kids. Like, my niece absolutely loves it. And I like all the different characters, all the different cats. But the plot just isn't there for me.
No, I know what you mean. I'm not massive Andrew Lloyd Webber stan. Andrew Lloyd Webber stan. I do like Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah.
Mainly because I played King Herod when in school. Okay. And I was the campus most fabulous King Herod ever and stole the whole show.
Yeah, and I like Phantom.
I don't see. I've never watched Phantom. I know what it's about. I know the song.
Should we get off the sidebar now? Because yeah, we've been on it for quite a long time.
We can edit some of that out.
Yeah, we're very sorry.
Sorry. But if you'd like to join our musical theatre podcast.
Could you imagine?
Right, so. She dreamed of being an actress. However, her mother wanted her to marry a local man and become a kept woman. This was probably due to her mother wanting to give her some stability, which she lacked during the whole of her childhood. But Ava had other plans for herself, and at the age of 15, she ran away with a young musician she'd met in Buenos Aires. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Buenos Aires.
Buenos Aires, yeah.
Even though they didn't last long, she loved the capital and decided to stay. She started to work on achieving her dreams and got to work as a radio actress for some time before going on to the big screen. Ooh. Yes, Evita.
She's making it.
She is. It won't be easy.
It won't be easy.
I don't know the next lyrics.
No, neither do I. That's why I just repeated what you said.
It won't be easy. My favourite bit of that song is she goes, have I said too much? There is nothing more I can think of to say to you.
I'm excited that I chose this case.
I took my mum and my brother to watch Evita and they hated it.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'll get off the sidebar. So, she started on the big screen. In the early 1940s, she'd made it big and people knew her name. She had enough money to move to an exclusive part of Buenos Aires. That was when Ava decided to move on to the next stage of her career. I like a woman with a plan.
I feel like she had such a solid one. I can't believe she left home when she was 15 and then was like, I'm just going to become an actress, and she just did it.
I feel like in the 1940s things like that just happened though.
Yeah, do you know, I always I'm very into like old Hollywood, and I used to teach film studies where we had to teach old Hollywood, and a lot of the old Hollywood actors just seemed to like go to Hollywood and just it just happened, like they just became actors. But there is also like some stories of ones that didn't make it big, and it was really sad and traumatic for them.
And then there's also the people you've just never ever heard of because they never made it.
Yeah.
For every Evita, there's 10,000 other Evitas that went to Buenos Aires and did not make it.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
So, bless. But she did it.
She did. You go, girl.
And in 1944, she met Juan Perón.
I love him in the musical. Juan Perón.
It's a good name, isn't it? A military colonel who had organised a fundraiser to help the victims of an earthquake that had struck Argentina. It was at this fundraiser that the two first locked eyes and fell in love.
There's a song about this in the musical, but I can't recall it.
I can't either.
Insert song here.
This podcast is just going to be full of random, like, Evita songs. So, when Ava was only in her 20s and Juan was in his late 40s, so this meant that there was a huge age gap between the two. So, there was 20 years, which is quite a lot, really, but Juan had already, like, been married and things like that.
He is a silver fox.
He is quite the silver fox.
Established, yeah. Shall we say.
Yes, established.
And that comes across in the musical.
Yeah. But also, I think that would have been quite attractive to Ava because she would have, I'm not saying she had daddy issues, she probably did, but again, it's that, like, stability, isn't it?
Daddy
of,
issues.
Like, an older person who can look after her and, like, make sure she's okay and, you know, like, give her that...
Stability?
Stability, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like what a mum wanted for her.
Kind of. We should do a Freaky Friday on daddy issues.
Oh, that is such a Freaky Friday topic. Ugh.
It is. Ugh, affects a lot of people. Issues.
Yeah, it really does.
Like,
at least like
the psychology of that.
At least one in two people.
At least one in one people.
At least half population.
At least statistics.
Statistics. Right, so it was during her marriage to Juan.
Juan.
Because the two got married in 1945, so just a year after they met, that the her sort of life started to become a little bit more controversial for some people due to the politics of the couple. And even to this day, it divides opinion because I thought, right, we are doing a podcast on this. We don't know anything about Argentina as a country, really. I don't think either of us are like...
Apart from a musical.
Yeah, apart from a musical and some research we've done. So when I was going and looking into like comments by actual like people who are from Argentina and stuff like that, it still seems pretty divided because there were a lot of people who were like, oh, we love Evita. But then there were also people who were like, no, she was a this, she was a that. I'm really against her because of her politics. So I think it's
that anyone in politics that's going to be there, yeah. Isn't it? Like Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah.
There are people that love that lady. There are people that hate that lady.
Yeah. I think a lot of people hate her, though, to be fair.
Yeah. They do. But there are people that love her.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah, that is just the way it is, isn't it? With political figures, yeah.
Because you're always going to have people that have the same ideology as you.
Yeah.
And you're always going to have people that have different ideology.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah,
exactly. And I think, to be fair, we get later on to it in the story, I would hate this woman.
Would you? See, I feel like I'd be a lover. Overall.
I feel like I would like her. But then what she did in the end.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that in a little bit.
We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. So, a year after they were married in 1946, Juan ran for president and Ava campaigned alongside him. She was really popular at the time because obviously she was still quite a celebrity. Like, she was still quite current being like a movie star. And she had like her own radio show and things like that, and that was one of the ways that she campaigned for a husband.
Is this like Jay-Z becoming president?
Yeah, and Beyonce being like, yes, that is my husband. Like, imagine if Beyonce had a radio show, everyone would listen to
everyone
it.
Would listen, and so you'd vote with
everyone's listening to Evita, probably even if they don't like her, they would probably listen, wouldn't they? And then she basically like plugged his morals and what he stood for and stuff like that. And then he was elected as the leader of Argentina, sort of like off the back of this. So this meant that Eva was now the first lady of Argentina.
And the first lady of a lot of people's hearts.
Oh, yeah, the first lady of a lot of people's hearts. That's cute.
Not mine.
Not yours.
Welcome to it.
Maybe mine a little bit, but definitely not yours. And the Peróns grew in popularity with the poor and the working class. So, obviously, lots of Argentina, because the poor and the working class always tend to outnumber the rich. And
well, anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere.
Like, the working class people are what, at least 80% of the population.
Yeah, but it's crazy because even working class people will be divided and some will be like really like left-wing and right-wing, won't they? It's
brainwashed. Yeah. Look at this country. A lot of working class people vote for people that they shouldn't vote for.
Yeah, but we're not going to plug those views.
We're not going to plug those views, but you know what I mean? You make of that what you will.
But yeah, a lot of people do vote for the wrong people.
In my opinion.
In our humble opinion.
Don't sue us.
So, would you like to tell us about some of these political beliefs then, Dean?
So, the political beliefs of Jean Poiron became its own party and philosophy known as Peronism.
Nice.
When we say Peronism, I think of Peroni.
Yeah, like the beer. Yeah. Too.
So Eva started her own foundation, and though this began to give money to the poor, the Eva Peron Foundation was thought to change the lives of many people in Argentina. And to this day, people still think that Eva, for helping her families overcome poverty that their parents and grandparents were in.
Yeah. Yes, that was another thing I found while I was researching this. A lot of people who were, like, on Ava's side would say stuff like, oh, you know, if my grandparents hadn't inherited, you know, like, hadn't gone to this foundation and got help, their family would still be in poverty, you know, like, to this day. They wouldn't be, like, middle class or something like that now. So a lot of people still thank her for helping their past generations. So it does show the effect, because obviously those grandparents have passed that down to their kids and now to their grandkids of, like, we love this woman, which is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. See, I think a lot of this is cheap lip service to be able to secure votes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, if you look at our last UK election, there was a lot of people that voted Conservative in places that weren't Conservative. And now those places that are have voted Conservative for the first time are getting a lot more money from the Conservative government to rejuvenate those areas. So you see that happen all the time across politics.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what
you mean. So, like, you've got to see it with both sides of the pancake.
Yeah.
Do you know why I'm saying that? Because that came to me because I've been watching Trial by Media a lot. Right. And in one of the cases, one of the lawyers said this story about his grandma saying, a pancake, you've got to see both sides of the pancake. You've got to flip the pancake over to see the other side.
That's good. I like that analogy.
Yeah. So you've got to see it from both sides. Yeah. And I think that's the good thing about hindsight.
Well, of course, that's why it's 2020.
And it's 2020 right now.
Right, so this foundation was just one of those things, one of the things that made her so loved by a lot of the people, especially the lower classes. Because I think she was probably seen as, like, a beacon of hope as well, wasn't she? Even if it was, you know, like you were saying, like, sort of, like, putting a plaster on something to secure votes, that hope, especially for, like, lower class people, does a lot for them, doesn't it? And does a lot for the morale. So I see where you're coming with that point. And a lot of people saw that she was there to help them and that she had sympathy for people who were struggling. And her backstory of her being impoverished and being illegitimate probably, like, really helped her case, didn't it? For being a woman of the people.
Poster child.
Yeah.
It's like, they love it, don't they? Like, stories like that.
Yeah.
Like, Amazon was started in a garage.
Yeah.
And it's the story that sold. Amazon was started in a garage, but Jeff Bezos' mum and dad were also, like, flush.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Both sides of the pancake.
Both sides of the pancake.
Mm-hmm. So, she was criticised, though, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Because she had a love of expensive jewellery, designer clothing, and this luxurious lifestyle, so she was often branded. However, she was criticised for her love of expensive jewellery and designer clothing. Because of this luxurious lifestyle, she was branded a hypocrite.
Yeah.
I get it.
I get it as well. This is why it reminds me of Princess Diana, because that's the flack she comes under a lot of the time, because she loved her fashion and her jewellery. Like, she was like a fashion icon.
Princess Di was, yeah.
Yeah, her stuff is still in, like, you know, like, on display and things like that. And I imagine a lot of Evita's stuff probably is in Argentina.
Oh! Princess Di of Argentina. Mm. Princess Di was the sort of the F, though. The queen of hearts. Queen of my heart.
Oh, I know. I love her.
I'm such a royalist.
I'm not a royalist, but I do love Princess Diana.
Oh, that needs to be a Freaky Friday.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I do get it. However, when you come from nothing, you have the opportunity to have.
Yeah.
You're going to have,
yeah.
And anyone in that situation would.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Like, yeah, I'm seeing both sides of the pancake, because you would want it. And also, it's not like she's just having that lifestyle and not doing anything to help the poverty-stricken people.
Yeah, exactly.
You can understand. You're never going to be... For the people that only see the one side of the pancake, you're never going to be the maple syrup.
I love this pancake, like, analogies that you're coming up with. It's great.
As well as this, Hare and Jean had been associated with the Nazis, and Argentina had remained neutral during the war, only joining Britain and America in the later days of the war when it was clear Hitler had lost. So they kind of sat on the fence, then, is what I'm taking from that.
Yeah, massively sat on the fence. And then we're like, at the very end, oh, okay, we'll join the Allies.
We'll see who's winning.
Yeah.
They waited till that pancake was cooked.
Whereas, like, countries like Switzerland just stayed neutral the whole time. Like, they didn't even help at the end. They were like, this has got absolutely nothing to do with us. We literally couldn't care less.
So were they just not involved at all?
So, no, they were just totally neutral the whole time.
Did they get invaded or anything like that? Just...
Switzerland? No, I don't think so. I mean, they would have been bloody close too, but I don't think they got invaded. Because that's when Sound of Music people were going to
go to.
We need to stop with the musicals. History. We need to stop.
Sorry. So, they jumped on the bandwagon towards the end of the war. After the war, Jean Perón allowed hundreds of Nazis to escape to Argentina. This was a complete contrast to everyone's opinion on the war. This was in complete contrast to everyone else's opinions on the war, who were trying to arrest the Nazis and bring them to justice. These included some high-profile names, such as Joseph Mengel, who was nicknamed the Angel of Death after trying out horrendous experiments on the Jews.
Which is just disgusting.
Did he escape to America?
He escaped to Argentina.
But didn't he? Didn't he end up in America as well?
Oh, he might have.
I'm sure there's a big thing about him. And even in
American... this could be a Freaky Friday.
It could be. Even in American Horror Story.
Do you know what? Yes. Yes. And yeah, because maybe he did go to America. Or maybe that's just like a myth or something. We will look into that for a Freaky Friday.
We should, because there is a, like... as horrendous as that is... the Allies then used a lot of those scientists, didn't they?
I don't know if they used them, though, because I know a lot of them were getting arrested in America and in Britain.
And then used for their work and their knowledge.
Oh, okay.
There's a whole thing about it that we need to delve into.
Yeah.
Genuinely, like, they were used for their knowledge. And a lot of things that we have today come off the back of those scientists.
Oh, that can definitely be
because of what they did and these horrendous things they did to people. So it's kind of like the thing we don't really talk about.
Ah, right. Oh, yeah. I definitely want to do that for a podcast then. But yeah, it is quite bad, really, because that was just one of them as well. That there was quite a lot of high-profile names you're like that they let into Argentina.
He was providing refuge.
Yeah, refuge for a lot of them. And a lot of people always say, like, because obviously there's that Hitler conspiracy theory, isn't there? A lot of people think Hitler went to South America or, like, lived out his days there and he didn't actually die and stuff like that. And I think part of that theory is because so many, like, high-up people were allowed in. So,
oh, I don't like it.
No, I don't like it. I really don't like that they let them in, that they were just like, yeah, okay, cool.
Because they were Nazis.
There was nothing, yeah. Yeah, which is...
because if you were a Nazi and you believe that, you're going to think they're on
the right side. Oh, I don't like it. It's not nice, is it?
One man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter.
Yeah.
It's all about what side of the pancake you're on.
Which, okay. The pancake analogy is going too far.
Yeah, it is.
God.
No, but it is, isn't it? Because they think they've done right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So they're obviously going to let them in.
This bit actually shocked me as well when I read this. So it's even suggested that Ava actually owned many pieces of jewellery that originally belonged to Jewish people who had died in concentration camps. And although there's supporters of Ava who claim that she didn't have connections to the Nazis and that it was all her husband and she wasn't really in on it, I fully can't believe that because it's her husband at the end of the day. And
She knew.
And it's sort of like, oh, your own jewellery that was Jewish people. It's just not okay.
Blood on her hands, that is. Contributing to it.
Yeah. That is gross.
This is why it's starting to come out, like, why I don't like her now. See?
Yeah. I know, I get you. Because for me, I'm such a... I love, like, people, you know, like queen of the people. So like, I'm all about Princess Diana. I love her. I think she's great. I hate it when there's people who are like, eh, she tried to do this to the royal family, because I just think she's awesome. But, and that's kind of the way I was with Evita.
But I think Princess Diana is such an unfair comparison to Evita.
Yes, because obviously she doesn't have any of those like Nazi ties.
No, but Evita was two-faced.
Yeah.
She was very strategic in what she did. She had an outgoing public persona,
yeah,
and then a hidden one,
yeah,
that we only found about later on.
Yeah.
And what she was actually doing was for her own benefit.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
She knew she could get people on side by standing up for things like setting up the Poverty Foundation.
Yeah.
That's a quick way to get people on side.
Well, yeah, because that's with Princess Diana. She didn't need to get people on side. She could have just happily been a princess, couldn't she?
People were already on side just because of who she was.
Yeah.
But she went out of her way. Look at all the things she did for AIDS.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Just incredible. Like, she deserves a full episode, doesn't she, Diana?
She does. When no one else was wanting to go anywhere near, yeah, she was the one that like made that bridge.
Yeah.
So
she is a true queen of the people.
I can't stand by why we compare her to Ava Brown. She's my princess.
As Tony Blair said, the one good thing he ever said.
We cannot compare her to...
No, we're not going to. I take it back.
We're not muddying those waters.
No, we're not. Don't want to see that side of the pancake.
But... how vile.
That is vile. It's like when people own lampshades and stuff with like Jewish skin on.
Oh, no, disgusting.
It's just vile, isn't it? It's horrible when you're like, Auschwitz would be a very, very dark episode for us to do, like, because it is so disgusting, and it wouldn't just be an episode, it'd have to be like probably a few, because it's so...
Oh no, it upsets so me much, so much. And it upsets me too much.
It's just awful, some of the stuff he did, and some of the things that, like, rich people did afterwards. Like, it's... like, but, owning the jewellery and things like that, it's just not... it's not okay.
Do you know what worries me, that?
Go on.
History will repeat itself.
I know. I would hope that nothing that drastic ever happened again, but... it's happened before with Jewish people as well. Jewish people in history have had it so bad. Like,
really?
In the medieval times, they've had it really bad in England. They've had it really bad, obviously.
Even Bible times?
Yeah, that's what I was just about to go on to. They've had it then. They've had it, obviously, as recently as the 1940s. You know, and they just can't seem to catch a bloody break.
And still now with all the anti-Semitism going on.
Yeah, I know. They just... oh, yeah, because Wiley's just... done something to me, with that, which is just, oh God.
Do you know, being a very open-minded liberal person,
yeah,
I can't comprehend how other people aren't.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it?
Like, why are you so bothered what other people say and do?
Yeah.
Like, I might not believe in your religion, but that doesn't... I still think you should have freedom to practice your religion and do what you want, just as I have the freedom to do what I want.
Exactly.
Like?
I just don't get it. I don't get it at all.
It does my head in. And like, I hate bigoted people.
Mm.
I really do.
I just don't get how you can be offended by it. I don't understand. Oh.
There's so many people doing my head in now. With all... because obviously it's Eid this weekend. And people are wishing people happy Eid. And Eid Mubarak is the correct term for it, isn't it? But then people are being like, they should be celebrating during coronavirus.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if it was Christmas, you would be celebrating.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
I just don't get why people are so opinionated about things that don't affect them.
I know. And do you know what really annoyed me, especially like around where we live? It was like when all the Black Lives Matter protests were going on, people were like, oh, it's going to cause a second wave. And I was worried about that as well, and didn't go to any of the protests because that was something I worried about. But I wasn't, like, openly horrid about people who were going, because I understood why they were going.
Mm-hmm.
But then, when Liverpool won the league,
everyone
was out in Anfield, and I was like...
and that one word was said about coronavirus during that. But when it comes to people's rights, and people's right to exist, people are opinionated.
Yeah.
But when some people win a trophy, in the grand scheme of things, which means nothing...
yeah.
Oh, don't get me started. I'm upset. And I'm upset with Ava.
Yeah, I'm upset with Ava as well.
And do you know what? I hope she was haunted.
Yeah.
No.
Well, maybe that's why her body went on the journey it did.
We'll get to it, but yeah. But maybe. I hope she was haunted both by spirits and in her mind.
Mm. Yeah.
Doesn't sit right with me.
No, it doesn't sit right with me either.
In 1947, Ava travelled to Europe and met with many leaders on what was called the Rainbow Tour. You see this in Evita. You see this in Evita. Leaders adored her and she continued to advocate for the poor through labour rights and women's suffrage. She actually ran the Labour Ministry and led the first big female political party in Argentina, the Female Paradise Party. You see this in Evita.
Oh.
It was through all the work that she became so popular and so loved. She was much more popular than her husband and she was the reason for the tourism in the capital. Kind of like the Queen does here. Kind of.
Like people will come to see Buckingham Palace. Like a lot of people who are royalists, their views will always be, oh, they bring a lot of tourism, you know, like to the capital, because a lot of people will go and see Buckingham Palace. And to be fair, I went to go and see it when I was there. And then I was like, well, why did I do that? Because you literally just stand outside of a house.
Yeah, it's not like the Queen's doing meet and greets. <It's so laughs> do you have a meet and greet wristband for the Queen? It's so weird,
but I did it and I'm not a royalist. Like, so.
But you do that anyway. I went to New York and I went and took pictures out of all the big buildings and the monuments there. And there was nothing there to do with royalty. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You do that anywhere you go and you go there like, what does, do you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, to be fair, if the monarchy did, like, just get abolished tomorrow or whatever, and then Buckingham Palace was just opened as, you know, like, a house to go in, oh my God, it generates so much more money.
National Trust should take over. I'd use my membership then.
I'd get a membership to go.
Have you not got a membership for National Trust?
No, I don't.
£38 a year, it's good. And you get a free pair of binoculars.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Use code MUCK. Curiously morbid for 10% off.
Could you imagine that if the National Trust like, oh, we'll sponsor this podcast?
Let's reach out. So, brought lots of tourism. In 1951, she announced that she was to run for vice president and we received a lot of support, but also opposition from the military and the upper classes, which was suspected as the two ideologies of Argentina were very, very different.
Yeah, which we've already touched on. It was this political battle and problems with her health that caused her to withdraw from the race for vice president. She actually had cancer, and a year earlier she'd fainted in public and the doctor had thought that it was her appendix, so had it removed. This made no difference to how she felt, as of course the problem was more severe and she struggled to keep up with her busy lifestyle. She began to suffer with extensive bleeding, and when examined she was diagnosed with cervical cancer. But Ava was not told about this diagnosis. So she was sort of kept from her by Juan. Which is a bit...
Mm.
It's not nice really, is it?
Surely that's against the Hippocratic... What's it called? The the doctor's oath.
Probably. But Juan was president, so does he have some sort of like...
No.
It's, I don't know.
It's
just shady. It's probably doctors that were just being paid off, isn't it?
Yeah. Cash hand. That's nasty.
So, well, listen to this. Juan called Dr. George Pat from New York to confirm the cervical cancer diagnosis that the Argentinian doctors had suspected. So Dr. Pat came and examined Ava while she was under anaesthesia, and he left before she even woke up. So she didn't even know that she'd been examined down there. How bad's that? Which is why I really don't like Juan. Juan's a very shady character. And he gets worse.
I'm like gobsmacked by this.
I know, I can tell by your face. You are shook. This was not in the musical.
And this is like gaslighting to the extreme.
Which is why I think, because I knew this, I was a bit more like, oh, I kind of like Eva. Because of all this sort of like stuff that goes against her women's rights, which obviously I'm very for. So...
But both sides of the pancake.
But of course, both sides of the pancake.
Nice people can be nasty, and nasty people can be nice.
Yeah, exactly. So a month after this, she underwent a full hysterectomy by Dr. Pat, and again, Ava was unaware of her cancer diagnosis. She was instead told that removing her uterus was normal to correct the bleeding that she was suffering with. The cancer had, though, spread to her abdomen already, so again, this surgery meant nothing. And Ava was basically the reason that a lot of people were voting for Juan. So he couldn't afford for their confidence to be knocked, so that's why it sort of suggested that it was all done, like, very hush-hush.
This is in the musical, but not in this death. We know she's ill.
Yeah, so, yeah, you know, well, exactly, because you're sort of seeing it from the people's perspective. Yeah. So they know, oh, she's a bit ill, but, you know, it's nothing severe. She'll be fine. She's just having a bit of surgery. Because even she didn't know that, you know, she was getting a hysterectomy because she had cervical cancer. She just thought, like, she was getting it removed because... You know, just to help, else. You know, like, yeah, and then that would correct it and she'd be fine. So Juan decided that it was important that her cancer was kept secret from Ava and the public, as she was such a powerful political figure, and he didn't want the public to lose faith in them or cause, like, a national worry about Ava.
That should be her choice, not his.
Exactly. And again, this is quite similar, though, to what happened with Hillary Clinton. Because when she was running for president, Trump always used to make comments about she wasn't fit to run because she'd been seen fainting, she'd been seen acting a little bit strange. He even said, like, look, she's had a seizure one time.
Yeah, he was undermining her health, wasn't he?
Yeah, and then that was massively, like, loads of people then jumped on that bandwagon to make her look weak, which is what I think Juan was trying to avoid, but obviously...
But I also think with Clinton, it was just the exhaustion of running a presidential campaign.
Oh, yeah, probably, because it is exhausting. And can, like, you imagine being against Trump as well? Oh my
and you
God.
Live on a bus, don't you? Have yeah. you ever watched The Good Wife?
Yeah, I love The Good Wife.
Like, that's my knowledge of running for president.
My knowledge. Oh, so good, that show. So Ava most likely would have told the public as well about her illness, as she wouldn't have wanted to mislead her fans.
Would she?
Well, this is what Juan thought. One thought she would have been very open with them because that's the way she was with them. Because you've got to think of it from the point of view is Ava thought of people as her fans. She didn't think of them as, like, her constituents the way Juan mm-hmm. would have. She thought of them as her, like, fans because she's probably still in that mindset of, well, I'm an actress and, you know, this, that and the other. She's not that far removed from it.
Yeah.
And Juan obviously knew her quite well, and he thought he kept it a secret because he thought she would tell people.
Was she open to her fans about her Nazism?
I don't know.
Like,
I don't know, maybe. But I don't know what the general consensus was in Argentina at the time. Was it okay for her to be open about that? I don't.
Well, no. The answer is no. Well, we don't like Nazis.
No, but I don't know what Argentina's standpoint was at that time.
Clearly.
You know, like,
they would have been against it because... I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying.
That's what I mean. Like, I can't really comment because I'm not 100% sure. But I'm guessing that.
We should maybe get a historian.
An Argentinian historian, that would be quite useful. For moments like this. We need very specific people yeah. to come on at certain moments.
Well, actually.
So, this didn't stop those reports, obviously, in the press. But her illness was never confirmed. Like, Juan never, like, spoke on it in the press or anything like that, or anyone from government. It was, like, really hush-hush. So, Perón was then re-elected while Ava was recovering from her operation. So, he basically had, like, kept it under wraps for while he was, you know, like, running again to be re-elected. Which is kind of shows, like, he probably cared a little bit more about his presidency than he did his wife. But in 1952, the pain returned and Ava's cancer had come back. So she still wasn't told, but underwent radiotherapy to try and shrink the cancer until her death that July. So I don't know what they told her.
She knew. What's up with her. She was a clever lady.
Yeah, because why else would you be getting radiotherapy?
You'd know at this point.
So at just 33, which I think is crazy, she was only 33. Ava died on the 26th of July 1952, never knowing the truth about her illness. She might have guessed, like you said, and been like, oh, but obviously maybe didn't want to admit it. But it's thought that she didn't know about her illness because Juan and that tried to deliberately keep it from her. All radio transmissions were stopped, and it was like an emergency announcement at 8:52 p.m.
This bit's in Evita, it's sad.
Yeah, I can imagine it would be. And it was announced that the First Lady, Eva Perón, had died from cancer. And Argentina, like, came to an abrupt stop. Like, films in the cinema just shut off straight away, and people were told, shops shut. Yeah, it was just, like, crazy. The entire country was in, like, a state of emergency and mourning. It was, like, a really big deal. Like, I imagine it wouldn't even be that bad if the Queen died. Like, if the Queen died, it would be like, whoa. But I don't think shops would be shutting. So, it's even been implied on this bit, I know I keep saying this, but this really did actually genuinely make me upset, that Ava was given a lobotomy to help manage her pain before death. And this was something Juan had given the go-ahead for, but it's not strictly proven. But what they have to prove it, I think, does give it a lot of weight. So... And she'd only been 79 pounds when she died as well.
So she's losing lots of weight.
Nothing. That's like, what, like 6 stone or something silly like that. I haven't been 6 stone since I was like 10.
Well, she was going under radiotherapy, that'll do that to you.
Yeah, of course. So when she died, a neurosurgeon that came to Argentina just before she died had actually taken x-rays of her body, and including like her skull and stuff. And that showed indents in her skull that suggested that she'd been given a lobotomy, which is where that theory comes from. And obviously it's a neurosurgeon as well, so...
Knows what I'm talking about.
I really do think she probably was given it. And that was suggested to have taken place in the June, so a month before she died, to sort of ease her pain.
Which could have contributed to her death.
But yeah, it's really sad, isn't it? It's like, oh God, like, what a way to go.
The people of Argentina know all this?
I'm guessing they know it now, but not at the time. Because I'm guessing if they knew Juan had done that...
They'd want to be gone.
If Juan would be gone, yes. Absolutely no way he'd still be there.
Shall we take a break?
Yeah.
I love Little Miss Stick.
I love Little Miss Stick.
And I know we keep talking about her, but I have got my very own personalised stickers, and I love them. Oh, I've got ones that go in books with a picture of me holding the book that says "From the Library of Mr. Osgood." These are going in all of my books. I've got ones with my face on that says "Mr. Osgood loves your work," and I do love your work. And I've got ones with me just saying "Yay!" and I cannot wait to use these in school.
I'm really excited as well, because I've also got ones that says "This book belongs to Miss Waldron," and I think I'm just going to get ones that say "This book belongs to Danielle Waldron" as well, because just to put in my regular books, because a lot of the time, I'm going to sound like a freak now, but a lot of the times I will lend my sister's books and then I never see them again, or like I'll see them like years later in the house and I'll be like, "I lent you that book," and I'm like, "No, you didn't," and I've got no proof. But if I
now you've got
stickers
proof.
In all my books, there's proof. So I just love it. And also Little Miss Stick offers like loads of different sizes. So like I've got some that are like small, so they fit loads on the page, or you can have them a little bit bigger to fit in. So it's really up to you. And she does like any designs you want. Like for me, I've got one that says "You can do it," and it's like in the theme of that old sort of World War II woman, like with the muscle, which I just love.
Rosie the Riveter.
Yeah, because it's so personalised. I think it's so cool. And it's really like just feminism, baby.
And
so,
she makes sure everything gets sent to you so nicely. These arrived in a hardbacked envelope.
Yeah.
And they came first class.
First class.
We absolutely love Little Miss Stick, and we love supporting independent small businesses. And Little Miss Stick is a teacher. And it's, we need to support her.
Yeah, we need to support with everything we can. So please go and DM her on her Instagram, which is just at Little Miss Stick, and let her know that you came from this podcast, Curiously Morbid podcast, because that way she'll know where you've come from and it'll just be really nice. And then, you know.
You need these stickers in your life. If you haven't got these stickers, you're not cool.
Yeah, these stickers, I think, are going to make me a much cooler person all around.
Teachers, parents, friends, family, everyone needs these stickers.
You know what I've just thought of?
What have you just thought of?
Christmas stickers to make it for a label on your present, so you can be like, this is from, you know,
Game Changer, from Dean, from Danny, or get yourself to Little Miss Stick right now.
Oh my god, I'm buzzing that I've just thought of that, because that's going to be what my labels are this year. I'm going to be DMing her, telling her that I've come from the podcast, so you also need to do that. So yeah, please get in touch with Little Miss Stick at Little Miss Stick on Instagram.
That's Little Miss Stick on Instagram. The following morning after her death, Ava's body was moved to the Ministry of Labour building. During this, 8 people were crushed to death and over 2,000 people were hospitalised, as there was a crush of people wanting to be near Ava's body as she was being transported. 2 weeks later, the lines of mourners continued to stretch for miles along the streets of the capital. Every florist in the capital ran out of stock, and the government had to put an end to the public viewing as it was too dangerous. There were even fears that Ava's body would be damaged. Even though she was never actually in office, she was given a state funeral.
So it kind of shows like the pandemania. Is that the right word? Pandemonium. Yeah, there we go. That was like around her death. Like people were like devastated.
Some prime ministers in this country don't even get state funerals.
No, I think like... I can't really remember many state funerals. The last state funeral I remember was Margaret Thatcher's, and I remember lots of people were fuming.
That was highly controversial.
Yeah, were fuming about that. But I understand why she had it, because she's like the first female prime minister, all that sort of stuff. But I still don't agree with it.
I also understand why Ava got this state funeral, because she had such a big impact on the country.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. So... to Argentinians impoverished, Ava had been saint-like, and before she died, plans for what to do with her body were made. Pathologist and embalmer Dr. Pedro Ara was called by Juan to preserve Ava's body. She was to be placed for public viewing, so Juan wanted her to look as good as possible. Public viewing?
I know, it's a bit grim that, isn't it? Public viewing. I feel like I'm one of those weird people that would go and see it, though.
I wouldn't.
See, and I think I would, just because I'm so curious, like, to know. And I think a lot of people were probably in disbelief.
Yeah, that she's died.
Yeah.
They see for themselves.
Yeah.
I think the idea of viewing a body at a funeral is, like, gone in the past now. Like, we don't have a lot of like, open casket funerals, do we?
Yeah, we don't. But I remember my mum, at my granddad's funeral, which was only a couple of months ago, she was devastated that there couldn't be any kind of open casket thing and stuff like that, because for her, she was like, well, you might not even be in there. You know, like, she needed to know, you know, that that's where he was and things like that, which was like, it made me really sad for him, because for me, I've never thought of it like that, and I was just like, oh, this is obviously sad. But my mum was like, I need to know that he's definitely in there. Yeah. Is he definitely in there? You know, like, I'm thought, oh, God, that's so sad.
That's horrible.
And that made me, like, feel really sad for me, ma. But,
and you can see the other side of why people like that and need
to know.
That closure,
because I wouldn't have expected my mum to say she wanted an open casket, because I just never, because I think death's one of those taboos, isn't it? You just don't really talk about it until it happens. And then, so when my mum was saying about, like, she needed to see his body in his open casket, I was thinking, what? Like, because to me, that seems like an idea from the past, but...
I know when my family have died, there's been, like, you could go to the funeral home in the week leading up to the funeral and see them and, like, say goodbye to them.
Yeah.
But once the funeral started, like, the coffin was closed. Yeah. Like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's my perception of it.
Mm.
I don't know.
Yeah. But I feel like I would I think if the Queen was put on display, which I doubt she will
be. She would never be.
I would probably go and see her.
I think it's a gross it. Like,
because, well, I am curiously morbid.
You are, I really am.
I am the podcast.
I think it's like a massive breach of privacy. Like it's gross.
It is negligence. Gross, but it wouldn't stop me.
Oh,
sorry.
I'm upset by that.
Her blood was replaced with glycerin, and her organs were actually left inside her body, which I think is actually quite unusual for embalming, because I'm pretty sure they'd take all the organs out because they'd rot and stuff like that. Like, as far as I'm aware, your organs get taken out. Obviously, I'm not an embalmer.
I don't think they do. I think they stay in.
You don't think they do? I think that's weird.
These days, they stay in.
Do they? Yeah, but for 1952, I just wouldn't think they would have had the thing. Like, especially back then as well, because I did a bit of research on it, because obviously I needed to Google it. And back then, that was weird. Like, normally, they would have all been removed.
So, it was unusual. But her body had suffered great injuries towards the end, hadn't it? And such as being burned by the cancer tree. She was burned.
Yeah. Which is sad.
From the radiography?
Yeah, from the radiotherapy. And, like, she'd lost all that weight and...
Oh,
her poor body. It just wasn't... It wasn't what it obviously had been for, like, a 33-year-old healthy woman.
Yeah.
Obviously.
This is where I also don't agree with her body being put on public display, because that's part of dignity, I think.
Yeah.
I think if it was me, I'd want people to remember me as I was.
The way you were. Well... It does kind of get better, because Aura still managed to create her beauty, and, like, if you actually look at photos, she actually looks quite good. Because obviously I looked at loads of photos while I was doing the research for this, and she doesn't look terrible. She sort of just looks like she's sleeping. And her hairdresser and manicurist both came in to help, like, recreate her beauty, so her nails were done and her hair and her makeup. All that sort of stuff. And a lot of people thought she just looked like she was in a deep sleep rather than actually being deceased.
She looks stunning.
She does, doesn't she? She looks great. Dean's obviously looking at her photos of her right now.
She's got contoured and everything.
Yeah. She looks really good, to be fair. Considering her body was in such a bad way when she died, you can't really tell. Like, Dr. Aura did a really good job of, like, reconstructing her beauty and making her, you know, the way she was before, obviously, she was really ill and had all the surgeries and things like that. So this bit's a little bit creepy. So some have actually speculated that Aura fell in love with Ava's body while he was embalming it because she was so beautiful. And he actually stated that he left her in such a good condition that she'd never decay. So he was... really proud of his work, and obviously there's no proof that he fell in love, but it is speculated.
Yeah, that's a
lie.
So
maybe he might have just really admired her, and maybe that creeped him out because he liked it so much.
But you'd be buzzing if you'd done a good job at something, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and I suppose it's a very, again, it's like a curiously morbid thing to do, isn't it, being a pathologist and stuff, because of the sort of work you do. And I suppose you would be proud of your work, but it is a pretty morbid thing to say, isn't it? Like, oh, look how beautiful I've made this.
Do you know what we'll do
for
a Halloween special? We'll interview an embalmer.
Oh, yeah, that would be a really good episode.
Yes, oh, like a Freaky Friday.
Yeah, that would be good, actually.
If you got any questions for an embalmer, if we can find one and ask one, send them to us on our social medias, which are...
Curiously Morbid Pod
on Twitter and Instagram.
Yes,
send those three questions.
Yes, please. The original plan for Ava's body was that it was to be placed in the base of a monumental tomb that was planned to be larger than the Statue of Liberty.
Oh,
which is, like, crazy, isn't it? Like,
also, Statue of Liberty is not that big.
No, it's not, but it's still pretty big for, like, a monument for, like, someone's tomb.
Yeah, for someone's tomb. Yeah.
For someone's tomb, that's pretty big.
However, the pyramids are pretty big.
Yes. I suppose you could connect it to that. So, they wanted her body to stay on display so that people would always be able to go and pay their respects at any time, because obviously there was... the whole of Argentina.
What? Forever? They wanted her body to stay on display forever in this monument?
Yeah. Like, it would always be there. And that was where her resting place would be.
That's wrong.
That's
wrong.
Yeah, I thought that as well. Because I assume they meant, like, it'd be on display for, like, a month,
and then
she'd get put underneath it or something like that. You know, like, so she was no longer on display, but it was supposed to be forever. During the monument's construction, her body lay in state for 2 years, so, like, the state kept it somewhere safe, basically.
In a morgue.
Yeah, presumably. Probably. But in 1955, President Perón was overthrown and Juan was actually exiled to Spain. So this is where Ava's body gets into some disarray, really, because military leaders confiscated Ava's corpse to basically combat any threat of her body being used by, like, the rebels to rally support back for them and start, like, a revolution. Because obviously Ava was seen as, like, this symbol of Peronism. So they stole her body, basically.
This is why you should have just buried her.
Yeah, exactly.
This doesn't happen to normal people.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, and you know, it only gets worse from here.
It really does. It gets a lot worse.
She didn't deserve this. No one deserves this.
No. It is pretty bad. Her body is treated shockingly. Like, being on display is the least of Ava's worries at this point.
So, at this point, we were getting the revolution, weren't we? In 1971, Peronism was banned in Argentina. It was even illegal to say Ava and Juan's name. Like...
Yeah.
Not good, that.
No, that's very strict.
Very extreme.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm guessing you could say the name Ava, but you couldn't say, like, Ava Peron.
So, it was illegal to even say their names. Colonel Carlos Koenig was assigned the role of being Eva's body's guardian, to keep the corpse protected and hidden. The plan was to secretly bury her body, but he was followed around by her admirers. They would follow him and leave followers close to where her body was, so that he ended up reportedly keeping her in his office. Oh! He used her body to show off to his guests and impress people. There was another slightly more sinister suspicion that he developed a sexual attraction to her corpse, but that's never been proven.
Again, I feel like a lot of people just keep sexualising this corpse because it comes up with this colonel and then obviously it's already come up with the doctor and it's like, yeah, we get it, she's beautiful, but it doesn't mean people want to be sexually attracted to the corpse. But it was weird the way he showed her off to guests and stuff like that. And that is confirmed because obviously
there's
his
guests,
friends and that have said that's what he did.
Hey, look at this.
Look, I've got Eva Peron in my office.
Oh, no. There is another theory that he was actually terrified of the body and how people always seem to know where he was hiding it. Which is the more likely scenario.
Well, they probably knew where he was hiding it because he kept showing her off to his guests. And obviously people are going to talk about, like, oh my god, like, if you had a dead body in your house, I'd be like, oh my god, Dean's got a dead body in his house. And also, it's a super famous person.
This is weird. Why did they just not bury her at sea?
I don't know. I think they were holding her as, like, leverage.
So, he ended up putting her in the attic of his office at the military headquarters. He told people that she was buried in a secret location, but when his boss found out she was in the attic, Koenig was fired and she was assigned a new bodyguard. The military decided that she had to go to a different country as they could not chance her body being stolen by the revolutionaries.
So, I mean, a lot of the big up people thought she was buried in fairness, but she wasn't. She was just in the attic.
So, like, the higher ups in the military thought she was buried somewhere?
Yeah, they thought, like, he'd done his job, basically.
Who found her in the attic?
I know, that's the thing. Someone's gone up there and been shook, Eva Peron's dead body was up there.
I bet it was like a poor security guard or like a janitor or like, oh.
Someone who's just been sent up to the attic to do something.
Someone that's not paid enough to make that discovery.
Yeah. Oh. So Ava's body then got sent to Milan in Italy and she was buried under the false name of Maria Maggie. But this information was leaked in 1971 when the president Aaron Barreau was murdered by Peronists and the new government decided to get the body back of Ava. So obviously they got access to these files. And they actually decided to return it to her husband, Juan, who was still exiled in Spain. So she didn't go from Italy to Argentina, she just went from Italy to Spain.
So she's now doing a tour of Europe,
essentially. Yeah, so she's now doing another rainbow tour. Sorry.
That's morbid.
That is morbid.
Question. What happens when you're exiled?
Sent away.
Just...
You're not allowed to be in your country anymore.
Is he living in, like, the Argentinian embassy in Spain, or is he having a ball in Spain? Like,
well,
is he like that WikiLeaks man?
Kind of. He seemed to have an okay time. He had a nice life. Well, we're going to find out. So.
We'll carry that one in a moment.
So, Ava's body, however, was not in the same immaculate state that it had once been. She was missing the tip of her finger now, which... Yeah.
Oh, no!
And it gets worse. Which was apparently done after the 1955 coup, so that they could verify that it was Ava's body. So you've got to be thinking there, like, this is now the 70s, so her body's, like, getting on. It is pretty old, because she died in 1952. So it's, like, already, like, 20 years old. And so...
This is not right.
No, it's not right at all. As well as the body being repeatedly hit by the military, like they used it like a punching bag, which is like so degrading and so gross. I don't understand why.
And what possesses people that. To do this?
I don't know if it was like
bravado.
Yeah,
toxic masculinity.
They were obviously buzzing because they'd overthrown these Peronists at the time, because obviously the military were against them.
Do you know what sends me a bit? West.
Go on.
Like, this was 50 years ago.
I know, it wasn't even that long ago. And you think about stuff like this being like medieval, don't you? Yeah. And it really is.
This was 50 years ago.
It's so gross. But yeah, there was a dent in her nose. So obviously she'd been hit in the face. Marks were on her face, on her chest and on her back. And she also had a really bad hit to one of her knees. And it's not confirmed that her body was beaten or if these were just signs of decomposition, but it did look as though she'd been, like, beaten, like, really.
Question.
Go on.
Once you've been embalmed, would you still bruise?
I don't know. We'd have to ask the embalmer.
Yeah, we will. Because isn't it the best in the blood vessels, so if there's no blood in your body?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that, yeah.
You wouldn't bruise. You might decompose and change colour.
Yeah. We'll ask the embalmer.
We will ask the embalmer on our Halloween special, which will be released on the 31st of October, 2020.
So, when Juan got her body back, obviously he was shocked, because the last time he'd seen it, it had been gorgeous condition. She just looked like she was sleeping. She still looked like Ava.
Also 20 years ago.
Yeah, also 20 years ago. And now she wasn't as, like, angelic and perfect as she'd once been. So, he wasn't having any of this. He called back Dr. Pedro Ara out of retirement to work his magic once again and help Ava's body get back to what it looked like before.
So, he's in for a hard job.
Yeah, he really is.
Surely that is, like, a world first.
Oh, it's gotta be.
To re-embalm a body after 20 years.
Yeah. It's crazy. Well, that's what I mean. The corpse is now 20 years old. So Ara's job's obviously going to be a lot harder than it was the first time around. And obviously it's like a bit battered and bruised now, isn't it? So
can we just point out at this point that Juan had got remarried again to his third wife, Isabel? What must she be thinking?
Well, they decided to keep Ava's body in their living room.
That's not right.
That's not right at all. Can you imagine that?
Isabel must be fuming at this point.
Oh no, because every morning, Isabel would go and brush Ava's hair and get Ava's body ready for the day before she'd do her own, you know, like hair and makeup and stuff. She really looked after Ava, like, really well.
Did Isabel have HPV?
Well, it's not as what I found. I don't think she died from it. Maybe she might
have had
it.
Because she can have it and get treatment for it. Because probably, coming now into the 70s, 80s, we were more understanding of these diseases.
Yeah, there would have been like better treatment for it, things like that, maybe. But obviously that's all just speculation. But yeah, so Isabel actually really liked Ava and just had her body in her living room in Spain and looked after her.
I suppose it's not much of a threat to your relationship, is it?
It's not a threat to your relationship, but it's still really creepy to have a dead body in your house that's also your husband's ex-wife.
And also the pride of Argentina.
And the pride of Argentina is insane.
So in 1973, Juan came back to Argentina out of exile. He becomes president for the third time. They left Ava in Spain and Isabel was elected as vice president.
So it's crazy, it's like history repeating itself, isn't it?
Three times.
Crazy.
I hope history doesn't repeat itself for Isabel's sake.
Yeah, poor Isabel.
Because, Juan doesn't seem like a nice man to me.
No, I think he just really... I mean, I don't know what happened while he was in exile. Maybe he had a lot of time to think about what
to reflect on his treatments of people, especially the women in his life.
Yeah, especially poor Ava. Oh my gosh. And then the fact that he was then separated from her body probably didn't make him very happy, because obviously I think it was like a control thing as well, wasn't it? Like, yeah. He definitely lost all of his control, but then obviously gets it back in 1973. But... again, he was exiled in 1955, so that's a really long time. It's 18 years out of your own country.
Yeah, and he's getting on now in his third presidency. So he actually died a year into his office, and Isabel actually succeeded him in becoming the first female president in the Western Hemisphere.
Which is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
You go, girl. You go, Isabel.
On the other hand, that could have been Ava.
Yeah, it could have been Ava. Probably would have been, which is crazy, isn't it? The way, like, history changes and stuff.
Strange, isn't it?
If she hadn't died so young, she was only 33.
Do you ever think about that? Like, if certain people hadn't died, what would the world look like today?
I know, it's insane. Like, I think that about people like Martin Luther King, because Martin Luther King was only 39 when he was assassinated. So he could have done so much more with his life. And it's like Hamilton, I know I've already brought up the musical, but Hamilton was only young when he died. Like,
lots of people like that.
So, and I'm not saying like he was an amazing person, he wasn't in loads of ways, but in some ways he was and did lots of good things as well. So it's just crazy.
Did you know that Martin Luther King and Anne Frank were the same age?
And no, I hadn't put that together, but it makes sense now, because obviously...
But, like, in my head, I think of them as being from two different parts of history.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Oh, that's just insane, isn't it?
Madness. They'd be in the 70s, wouldn't they? 70s, 80s, if they were still alive today.
That's insane.
So, yeah, things like that.
Yeah. They'd probably be older, to be fair. I don't think they'd be 70s. They'd definitely be more like 80s, wouldn't they?
80s, yeah. 80s, 90s,
maybe.
So, Isabel, now the president of Argentina, gets Ava's body returned back to Argentina, where she's laid to rest next to Juan Perón.
I think this says a lot about Isabel. They made the choice to leave her in Spain, and I don't know why. Maybe it was like some logistic reason, like getting her body back or something like that. Maybe it cost a lot, or I don't know.
Where did they leave her is the question.
Well, that's the thing, like, was she still in the house?
In the living room.
Or did they have to put her in storage? Or, you know, like, what happened to her, like, while she was in Spain? It's really weird. I couldn't find out, because I did try.
Anyone can fill that gap, please let us know.
So she was left, but then obviously Isabel got her back once Juan died, which I thought was quite... it says a lot about her.
It says a lot about her character.
Yeah,
and I'm glad she's the first female president to the Western Hemisphere. Lots of respect. So a new pathologist. What's the new pathologist called, Danielle?
It's called Domingo Telesho.
So he restored Ava's body once again on the outskirts of Buenos Aires. It was much harder again, as her body was not in the state it had been. So we're maybe, 40 years since her death? 30 years?
No, this is 25?
Maths.
Yeah. It's maths is not Dean's strong point. Or mine, actually, to be fair.
Well, I can do maths as long as it is GCSE foundation paper, which as you are. It was much harder again, as her body was not in the state it had been. Her feet were particularly bad, as her corpse had been in a standing position for years when she was in the attic.
So she was stood up in the attic. They didn't even lay her down. Ugh. And this is the third time now she's being embalmed.
So she was stood up in the attic?
Yeah, stood up in the attic.
That's wrong.
I know.
The morbidness of me now is thinking, was she self-standing? Was she leaning against something?
Yeah.
Was she
on
a stand?
Like, what was the logistics of it?
Yeah. Because I don't imagine that you'd be able to hold yourself up.
No. She was probably leaning against something, I would imagine.
Because she would, rigor mortis would have been set in, wouldn't it? She would be stiff.
Yeah, I'm guessing she'd be stiff by that point.
20 years down the line.
Yeah.
The plan once again was to build a national monument for her and Juan's bodies. But this never happened, and she was placed next to him in an open casket and Juan in a closed casket to be viewed by the public for a couple of years. Why was he in a closed casket?
Well, I thought that, and I saw a picture of it, and like Juan's casket was closed and it had like his military hat on it and stuff like that. And then her body was just out for display, like full body, not even like just like, you know, half the casket open or whatever, like full body out. On display. So it's, I don't know whether it's like a, oh, look how beautiful she was. And like, I don't know the state of what Juan's body was like. Maybe it wasn't as nicely embalmed.
They needed to get Dr. What's his
name? Dr. R again,
out of retirement.
Again.
Imagine getting that call, oh no, back to Argentina.
For God's sake.
Oh, but when Isabel's power came to an end in 1976, Ava was at last put to rest after 24 years.
It's shocking, that, isn't it?
24.
That's basically almost the time she was alive for.
Yeah, nearly.
Which is crazy.
Oh, it's sad. So where was she buried?
She was buried in the family's mausoleum in Recoleta, in the Recoleta Cemetery in the capital, in October 1976. She's now underground in a crypt and is very unlikely to be as disturbed again. We can hope.
But hopefully, yeah.
That is just where she should have gone anyway, isn't it?
Within a month.
Yeah, that's just where she should have been buried. It just is insane the way her body was treated and the way so many people just were like, yeah, sure. That's acceptable behaviour.
Oh, it upsets me.
I know.
But thank God she's been put to rest by now.
I know, and she has stayed there, thankfully, since 1976, so...
50 years ago.
Yeah, it definitely seems like they're leaving her alone now, which is good. But she had so much stuff decided for her by the men in her life, and obviously, like, even her choice to have kids, like, her uterus was removed, you know, from her with that hysterectomy without her really knowing why it was actually happening. You know, things with her body, obviously, after, and knowledge was kept from her. She wasn't told she was going to, like, that she had cancer. You know, she wasn't even given the choice whether to tell the public or not. Because that might have been a huge turning point as well, if the public had known about it.
Yeah, what would have happened?
Yes, which is just...
Ugh.
You know, she had so much stuff kept from her. And I think this is why I had, like, that bit of sympathy, you know, because I knew all this stuff went on with her body after death. And like you were saying, it's not... okay for anyone's body to be treated like that after death. It's just really disrespectful, isn't it? And just wrong. I just really can't believe that was allowed to happen, like you were saying, like 50 years ago.
It sent me south.
Yeah, it just feels so weird. And like, and then to know that there was that musical made about her and stuff, and the fact the musical doesn't even like
touch on it,
and it's so famous. Everyone knows that song, Don't Cry For Me Argentina, don't they?
Madonna made it famous.
Exactly. Everyone knows that song.
Do you think Madonna knows all this?
Maybe.
Would she have?
But,
I don't know.
Depends when she's done the research, doesn't it?
Yeah. Which she'd hope she would have.
Yeah.
Because that musical was made in the 90s, so we're only 15 years after her body was actually laid to rest.
Yeah. Which is just bizarre.
So final thoughts then, Danielle?
Final thoughts, I think Juan Perón was a scumbag. Don't
yes,
like him.
Nasty man.
Maybe redeemed himself in Spain, but we don't know about that. Isabel is an angel. Love her.
Yes, queen.
Really on the fence about Ava still, because I don't like a Nazi car. I just think that's really, really wrong. But I also don't like the way she was treated in her life either. I think, you know.
It's not black and white, is it?
It's not black and white. She's very grey for me. For me, Juan, I'm like, you are black and white. Isabel, yeah, black and white. But with Ava, our lovely Evita, she's definitely more grey for me.
I personally, getting off the fence, do not like her as a person.
Yeah, whereas I'm a little bit on the fence. Actually, no, I back you up. As a person, I think when she was letting all that presidency and stuff get to her, and obviously, like, change her character and stuff, yeah, I agree with you. But I think, like, just the way she was treated and, like, controlled and stuff like that, like...
Yeah, I completely don't agree with that, but I also think she... knew what she wanted, she knew how to get it. She manipulated people herself.
Yeah, definitely.
And I don't agree with how she was treated. I don't think anyone should be treated like that.
Yeah.
But I also don't agree with the way she treated people.
Yeah.
I don't agree with her Nazi ties. I don't agree with the fact that she would very openly wear jewellery from people that had come from, like, concentration camps and things like that. Yeah. That I think that says lots about someone's character.
Oh, yeah.
That's,
yeah.
And I think the thing we need to come to terms with as people is bad people can do good things.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So, yes, she did good things for people in poverty in Argentina, but on the whole of it, she wasn't the best person. She didn't have the best character. She didn't make the good judgments.
No, she didn't. No.
But the way she was treated was wrong. The way her body was treated after the fact was wrong.
Oh, yeah, disgusting.
But
I think that sort of stuff can happen when someone is so idolised and it's allowed to happen.
And it's scary.
Yeah.
Question. Peronianism, good or bad, where do we stand on that?
I'd need to do a bit more research on it.
So would
I. If I'm being honest. But I feel like I probably would have been like that because I'm always against, like... the rich, which is basically what those two sides were. It was basically be with the Labour people and the women's suffragettes and stuff, or
I would have been on that side probably, but I don't know.
So it's one of them, isn't it?
Because they were also Nazi. That's the thing that froze it, isn't it? Because
well, that's why I wasn't sure when we were talking about like what Argentina's standpoint was on it, because I don't know how involved we were, you know, with them being on like another side of the world and we were obviously physically a lot closer to it, and you know, like, more involved with the war. People in Argentina probably weren't.
It's that thing, isn't it, if you have left and right wing politics, if you get so extreme left and so extreme right, they're the same.
Yeah
It comes back into a circle. If you go extreme left and extreme right, they have the same views.
Definitely.
Extreme.
Which is why a lot of, like, conspiracy theorists, like flat earthers, I was watching a documentary on flat earthers, and it was really interesting to watch the sort of people that go to these conventions, because they're either, like, this one was set in America, and they're either, like, really hard right and, like, Trump supporters and things like that, or really hard left. And I thought, how crazy is that, that, like...
They're both, both ends of that spectrum.
Like, they're polar opposites, don't they? But... they have more in common than I think you think.
Extreme anything is not good.
Yeah.
So, shall we close the case file on Ava Perón?
Yes.
Evita.
Poor corpse.
Thank you very much for letting us talk about you. Thank you for the goodness you brought to the world, and we hope you finally find some peace.
Yeah, that's lovely. And thanks for inspiring the song Don't Cry For Me Argentina. What a banger. Absolute tune, baby.
And I'm sure Madonna
she'd love it. I think she'd absolutely love it. She's got a musical, wouldn't she? She'd love it.
So, before we go, shall we give some hints for what our next case file is going to be?
Go on, you give the hint. You're excited for this.
Can I give the hints?
Yeah.
Three things. Purple shrouds.
Oh.
Nike shoes that are no longer in production. And black tracksuits.
And if you know, you know.
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 Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that next week.
Yeah. So until then, maybe just follow us on Twitter at Curiously Morb, or even on Instagram at Curiously Morbid Podcast. Well, Curiously Morbid, blah, 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 I'll say that again. Follow us on Twitter at Curiously Morb, or on Instagram at Curiously Morbid Pod.
You can also follow us individually on Instagram at the LGB teacher for me and at Miss Waldron for Danny.
Thanks.
Yes. But until next time,
stay curious
and stay morbid.
This has been an Audio Bear production, and our show tune is Half Mystery by Kevin McCall.